Good morning, and once again, welcome to all who are in our midst. As LB mentioned in the announcements, we do have visitors, but you're all familiar, and we're always grateful for your presence, and we do invite you back at every opportunity that you have to do so. This morning, I am going to be resuming a study that we put on hold a couple of weeks ago, last year, dealing with the subject of the home, a study entitled Godly Homes in an Ungodly World. Obviously, we have spent considerable time with this particular subject because it is something that is so important in our lives that we understand it properly. We've addressed a number of things in this particular study, including the purpose of marriage. We've given considerable time to things that you need to understand as you prepare for marriage. Once a man and woman do marry, then they become husband and wife, and they begin what you might describe as a new home unit. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24 says the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus emphasized concerning that in Matthew 19 and verse 6, therefore what God has joined together, do not let man separate. It is important that we understand that, and we've spent considerable time dealing with preparation for marriage, but then we began examining the various roles within the home a few weeks ago, and we devoted the past two lessons in this study to the role of husband, in which he's commanded to be the head of the house, in which he is commanded to love his wife, to seek to understand her, to honor her, to provide for her, to protect her, as well as the family. And that includes all areas, including spiritual matters. Nevertheless, we've also observed that she is not to be his footstool, nor was she intended to be a slave, but his companion who supports him in everything that he does. And that leads us to what we are going to begin studying in our lesson today, and that is the role of wives. And as I was preparing this lesson, if you look at the outline, it's probably going to be two lessons, either that or a very, very, very long one lesson. And so we will choose to continue our study with that. I do not make apologies for that because this is an extremely important subject. It's one that is so misunderstood in our society today. It's a very controversial and unpopular subject that deals with what you would describe as politically incorrect material. Much of our society has rejected the God-given role of the wife in so many ways. Feminism and modernism has sought to imply that the wife who chooses to stay at home and raise her children while her husband works as the sole provider has been degraded, and she is treated as inferior to her husband, or at least that is the implication. The role of submission is treated as outdated and barbaric, and it's outright rejected in many marriages, including in the marriage vows that are sometimes exchanged today. Women are told that they are not complete unless they go out and they get a career and are equal to men in the workplace. And I'm not just talking about equal as far as respect and equal pay, but what they're talking about is equal in numbers and in the types of jobs that they do and all those types of things. Society in many ways has so emasculated the male role, and they have been very successful in so doing. Many husbands are afraid to be men, and many wives won't let them be the men that they ought to be. And that is why it is so important that we consider this subject from a biblical standpoint, examining what God's Word tells us about the role of the wife. As I've said, it is very controversial and unpopular and scoffed at. The biblical role we need to understand as we begin this subject, though, is not one that is degrading to women. As a matter of fact, one of the observations that we've made in this study is that when you examine what the New Testament writers said about the way that a husband treats his wife, in many ways, that was better than the way that society viewed women. You look at the role of women in the society of history under the Roman Empire and so on. You basically had the pecking order, if you will, as you had the man, and then you had the woman, and then you had the child, and then you had the slave. So in many ways, she was not given the honor by those in society. And she was treated by some as a second-class citizen by her husband. But that was not God's intent. And that is very clearly established within Scripture. Though there are responsibilities that the woman must respect, even if she does not like it in Scripture. You find that the husband, as you study Scriptures, does not have the authority to abuse his wife or to belittle her or to treat her as a piece of property. The biblical role of the wife is equally important to the stability of the home as that of the husband. And you might even say in some ways more important. You might have heard the expression before. I know it's been used in a song where it says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And the point is a woman, when she understands her role and she fulfills that role as wife and as mother, she is going to have a great influence on what the next generation is going to be like. And I might add to that, that whether she submits to God's will or not, she's going to have a great influence on what the next generation will be like. The question is, will that generation respect God and His will, or will that generation reject God and His will? So understand, as we study the subject of the wife, has great impact on how smooth and how pleasant and how stable a home will be. A godly wife can strengthen the home, and she can enable the husband to fulfill his role within society. But just like the husband, her decisions and conduct is going to determine how happy the home will be. So with those thoughts in mind, let us begin to examine what the Scriptures actually have to say about the role of the wife within a home. The first thing that we do need to examine in this study is we need to talk about God's place for the wife in the home. And I want you to bear in mind as we talk about this that we're going to quote Scripture. And we're going to be quoting what God says in His Word. So it doesn't matter whether you like me. It doesn't matter whether you like what I say. If it is true according to God's Word, I want you to weigh it as if it were God's Word. But the first thing that we need to understand, and this does need to be emphasized, is that the position of the wife, according to the Word of God, is a position of honor. We talked about when we discussed the role of the husband that he is to render honor to his wife. He is to honor her as to a weaker vessel, and we pointed out that that did not mean something that was worthless and cheap. The idea of the weaker vessel is that which is delicate, and we use the illustration of a crystal glass, which you treat delicately because it is valuable. And that's the way that a husband ought to honor his wife. That text goes on to say that they are heirs together of the grace of life. So we understand very clearly in Scripture that the role of the place of the woman, the position of the woman is not degrading, and it's not designed as a position of dishonor. In Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse number 22, Solomon there said, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." I think it would do us husbands good to think about that as we consider our wives. In addition to that, you have Proverbs 19 and verse 14, which says, "Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." So when we look at the role of the wife, husbands need to understand that it is a position of honor, and wives need to understand that even as they fulfill their role, it is a position of honor. But that being said, we need to understand that according to God's word, she is to be in subjection to her husband. And I want you to read along with me the following passages. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And we related to this text as we were dealing with the role of husbands. Bear in mind to give you the context here that Paul is comparing the relationship between Christ and His church to that of the husband and the wife. And he's describing the relationship of the husband and the wife as it ought to be, which is description of the way of the relationship between what Christ and His church is. He says, beginning in verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." You read that text, you find that twice, and actually three times if you look at the role of the husband, the subject of submission is addressed there. Wives are told to submit to their husband. The husband is described as the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And also, just as the church is subject to Christ, so wives are to be subject to their husbands. In Colossians chapter 3, and in verse number 18, Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 18. We read in that text very simply, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." You want to be pleasing to the Lord as a wife? You are commanded to submit to your husband. Titus chapter 2. And in verse number 5, where Titus is describing the responsibilities of older men, older women, younger women. He talks about how the older women are to teach the younger women. And among the instructions that are given there in verse number 5 is that she is to be discreet, chaste, homemaker, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I want you to notice in that list the one characteristic of which Paul actually elaborates upon what it means. A wife being obedient to her husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 1, this is the prelude to the responsibilities of a husband as he is to honor his wife. You read there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Notice how Peter says that wives are to be submissive to their own husbands, the same way that a slave is to be submissive to his master. He goes and he makes that description there. And he even gives the example here that a wife, in her submission to her husband, very possibly could win an unbelieving husband by her chaste and godly example of respecting her husband the way that she ought to. He goes on and in verses 4 and 5 of this text, as he describes, let it be the hidden person of the heart, he says in verse number 5 and 4, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands," listen to this, "as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." That's a pretty strong statement there. And then there's a number of other texts that we're not going to look at extensively, but in 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 through 15, where Paul talks about a woman not speaking or teaching a man, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, which says that the head of the Lord is God and the head of man is woman, And it goes on and it describes those things. 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, a woman not permitted to speak in services. And obviously, as you look at that text, it's dealing with a leadership role. In all those texts, you find explanations as to the role of woman as subservient. And in 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 through 15, it's actually explained or reasons are given. Why? Number one, woman was created from man's side. And number two, it was Eve that sinned first. And so those reasons are given in all of those texts. So when you look at all of these texts, and you could add many others to that, it's interesting that when you compare 1 Timothy 2 verses 12 through 15 and go back to Genesis chapter 3, the original event, that is where Eve sinned and then she gave to Adam and he sinned, as the curses were being pronounced, as man was told that his labor was going to be much more difficult and Satan was cursed, concerning the woman, it said there in Genesis 3 and verse number 16, your desire shall be to your husband and he shall rule over you. Now, I've quoted all of these verses not to be self-righteous. Understand that. I've quoted all these verses because I want it clearly understood that this is something that is important to God. And that's why it is emphasized in Scripture over and over and over. So if you don't like what it says, don't get angry with me. This is God's Word. But understand that God, when He speaks, He knows what is best. And we understand that in all things in society. God knows exactly what He is doing, and when He gives instructions, He's doing it for a way that is best. And I want you to notice in all of these passages that when God gives this command, it's not negotiable. It's not something that we can argue about. It's not an opinion. It's not a suggestion. It's something that is not to be accepted begrudgingly or with resistance. It is something that is to be accepted. It's not something to be accepted only when you agree with the choice of your husband. The command is there. But there are some other observations that we need to understand about this. One is that wives, those who have not yet married, those who are looking one day to marry a godly man, you need to keep this in mind. And as I've stated before in lessons dealing with dating, you need to ask yourself a question when you start dating that young man. Is this someone I am willing to submit to? And that means you're going to take a deep look at his character. And you're going to make sure that he is a godly husband who will treat you honorably, who will respect you, who will treat you as his partner, not as his footstool or as his slave. Because once you make that decision, we've established it very clearly, it is for life. So you need to know what you're doing before you get married. And so when we deal with the subject of the place of the wife, again, we are reminded. We are reminded that husbands are to honor their wives and treat them with dignity, even as heirs together of the grace of life. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. You know, the husband needs to seek to understand submission. He needs to know what it means to submit. And you know the way that a husband understands submission? You know, you read there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23 there that the wife is to submit to the husband as to the Lord. I'll tell you what, as I study scriptures, the wife is not the only one that is to submit to the Lord. A husband is also to submit to the Lord. And when you look at that text, you find it talks about the church being in subjection to Christ. So I'm going to tell you right now, a husband needs to understand submission by the way that he submits to the Lord. And it's not with our Lord being a cruel and overbearing and overly demanding and uncaring master, is it? He loves us. and the decisions that He has made for us are what is best. So that has to be kept in mind. Another thing that we give consideration to when we talk about this is there are many reasons why society struggles with this command and disregards it. They ignore it for a number of reasons. And some of those reasons are the fault of women. That is, the women's liberation movement, where women refuse to accept what God's Word says. There are women who are selfish. There are women who have self-willed attitudes. There's the societal influences and pressures that cause women to give in. But I also want you to understand that at other times, it's the fault of the husband. Because he's ungodly. Because he's arrogant. Because he's lazy. Because he's selfish. Because he refuses to be a man. Because he refuses to honor and love his wife and treat her the way that he ought to. Because he refuses to take the leadership within the home. But understand, God's Word says that the wife is to submit. And there's one exception. There is one exception to that. And that applies to all things. Since God comes first, if your husband demands that you do something that is contrary to God's will, or to not do something that you ought to do according to God's will, then you obviously have to obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. And that is about the only time that a woman can refuse to submit to her husband. It's when he demands that she do something ungodly. You know, when you look at passages such as 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which talk about believers being married to unbelievers, and the challenges associated with that, you need to understand that even if there is something that you do not submit to your husband because he's demanding that you do something ungodly, that does not relieve your responsibilities in every other area of your life. You still are the wife of your husband. And as such, you are to be a godly example. And if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, notice the example that Peter gives there. He talks about wives submitting, and he gives the example of an unbelieving husband, and talks about you by your chaste example, and it's a text dealing with submission. Perhaps you can win your husband over. I'm going to have a little more to say about that as we continue our study of this, as a matter of fact, in next week's portion of this particular study. But the next point that I want us to give consideration to in this study is the responsibility that a wife has within the home. And again, this is another subject that is, shall we say, politically incorrect in the society in which we live. But nevertheless, let's look at what God's Word says. The woman is commanded to manage the house. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse number 5, and this is a text we have already referred to, you find there, and let's go ahead and read verses 4 and 5 so we get the whole context of this, or verse 3. It says, older women likewise, be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. In that text, among the things that is described there, is the woman is described as the homemaker in that particular text. And that's a word that means domestically inclined. One who takes care of the domestic duties of the house. That's actually what is implied in that particular text. And that is what she has a responsibility, according to God's Word, to do. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse number 14, you read there in that text, it says, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It talks in that text about the woman managing the house. And it's interesting because that word manage is actually a word that deals with authority. And it talks about she is in charge of the household affairs, the domestic affairs. And the idea is she is the master of those things. She tends to those things. And that is what God desires that the woman do within the home. She has that responsibility. When you look at the example of the virtuous wife or the virtuous woman, some versions actually describe her in verse number 10 there as the virtuous wife. And we're going to deal with this as we get a little later on in here. But notice what it says concerning her within the house. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse number 27. You read of the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife. It says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Notice it says there in verse 27 that she watches over the ways of her household. She manages the house. She takes care of the domestic affairs within the home. This is God's intent. And it's natural. I'm sorry, whether you like that or not. It's natural. Men and women are built differently. And the thing to understand is that God made us that way. God made us that way. And that's not to say it's a bad thing. When I make that particular point, I want it understood. When I say that it's natural, it means that it's the thing that she's better at doing than man. Just as there are things that men are better doing than women. I'm going to have a little more to say about that here in just a minute, because we want to talk about working wives. What about working wives? You know, in our society, women working is the norm, and it's actually the norm for a number of different reasons. We live in a society where it's not uncommon for this to happen. Because of our society's attitude about working women, you've got the high cost of living and you've got a number of other reasons. Sometimes there are circumstances where her working is a part of the solution. The wife helps them to just barely get by. Most women have a job of some sort, and our society has come to depend on women to help with jobs. And that's just the truth when you look at society. But what does the Bible say about women working? Because this has to do with managing the house and her responsibilities in that. The first thing I want us to understand is that there are examples of women that worked in the Bible. So I'm not going to say it's wrong. It's not wrong. You have the example of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. She was a seller of purple. And Lydia was from Thyatira. And she was in the city of Philippi. She was a businesswoman away traveling. Now, I don't know everything about her family, but I know that she was a working woman. And evidently very successful at what she was doing. Go back to Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 16. Proverbs 31, verses 13 through 16. You read in that text there, it says of her that she seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. She considers a field and buys it. For her profit, or from her profit, she plants a vineyard. She's a real estate agent. She's described as a real estate agent. She negotiates business deals for the good of the family. Go to verse number 24. It says that she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. She's a businesswoman. She does things and she helps the affairs of the household. Aquila and Priscilla, you read about in Acts 18 in verse number 3. Priscilla was the wife of Aquila. They were tent makers, and the description there is they did it together. She helped her husband in his business. So, can women work? You have examples of it in scriptures. And when you look at scripture, you also find that there is nothing that says it is wrong and sinful for a woman to work. So, understand that very clearly. However, I want this understood also. If a wife works, she's not excused from her family responsibilities. She is not excused from what the Word of God says. Her obligations are within the household. She still has to fulfill her duties as a wife and as a mother. And that again is something that has to that we have to keep in mind. Much of what is said about the role of wives and husband is in a command form without providing exceptions. I'm convinced that the instructions that God gives us, He does with divine wisdom. And it cannot be denied in the family that God's way is best and God's way will work. So if a woman chooses to work, she cannot neglect her duties within her household. She still has those responsibilities. But that also leads to the question, why is she working? You know, a woman says, I have to work. Maybe so. You know, we do live in a society where many families need two incomes just to get by. We live in a society where sometimes the woman is able to provide the benefits that a man, because of the job he has, is not able to provide. It's a fact of this society. And I'm not going to say it's a good thing. I'm not going to say that that's what God intended society to be. But it is the society in which we live. But having said that, when a woman says, I have to work, that is a question that we need to ask why. There are times where it's necessary, but do we abuse that as a justification? Why are you working? Is it to provide necessities or is it to provide wants? Is it so that you can have a higher standard of living, so that you can keep up with your neighbors? Is it because you want to work rather than fulfill your scriptural duties? There are wives that don't want to fulfill God's role for the wife in the home. And they're not going to. So they go out and they get a job. And is the job that you have chosen one that takes you away from or lessens your responsibilities as the wife? If you have to work or you want to work, you need to find a job that will let you fulfill your duties according to God's Word as a godly wife. Now that leads to the question of, you know, should the husband help his wife domestically? That's always an interesting question. Let's suppose you have a wife that is working to help provide for the family and she's fulfilling her responsibilities. You think the husband ought to chip in and help a little bit? You know, it's not necessarily something that is commanded. But I want to tell you right now that, first of all, there are things that men need to do around the house. You have domestic responsibilities as men. Women cannot lift heavy objects like men can. They shouldn't be required to. So, you do your job. When things need repairing around the house, men ought to take care of that. Or see to it that it is taken care of if they can't do it themselves. Don't put that burden on the wife. Furthermore, if he loves her, he's going to want to help her. I'll tell you one problem that men have had throughout generations with wives that stayed at home and raised the children and did the housework and cooked and all that stuff is they don't appreciate how much work it really is. They don't appreciate how it really is a full-time job. A godly wife that is fulfilling her role is not staying home watching soap operas all day or reruns. She's not just baking cookies, as politicians have said in times past. It's a busy, responsible and important work that she is involved in, even as she is doing her work at home. And it's not an easy job. Men get vacations from their jobs. A woman or a wife at home doesn't get a vacation. Those kids got to be fed, and so does the husband. 365 days a year. Three times a day. It never ends. And quite often, sometimes wives are not appreciated by their husbands when they do fulfill their role. I'll tell you, you want to know one of the best ways to appreciate what your wife does? Help her. Help her a little bit. There's nothing in the Bible that says it is sinful for a husband to wash dishes, to do the laundry, or to help his wife out. And if you honor and you love your wife and you respect your wife, you want to do those things that's going to make her job and her life easier. And so when we look at the society that we live in, I believe that these are things that we need to give consideration to. Now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to wrap it up there. And next week we're going to continue this study and we're going to talk about some other things that we find in Scripture about the responsibilities of a wife to love her husband, so on and so forth. And we're going to examine in more detail Titus chapter 2 and we're going to examine Proverbs chapter 31. But for now we'll go ahead and commend the lesson to you. And I commend these things to you. And like I said, I may not have expressed everything in the most eloquent fashion in this lesson. And I know what I've said may not be popular, but I ask you to weigh these words, and are they true to God's Word? Are they true to what God expects the wife within the home, and the husband, as to the way he is to treat his wife? Let's weigh those things. And let's strive to develop godly homes that in the future will make this society more godly than it is. Because we know that's what our society needs. And what this society will become depends on what our homes are today. Think about that. The lesson is yours.